Reggie mentioned in his announcements about some of our young folks going off to school, and we're going to certainly miss them, and we need to keep them in mind in our prayers. And he mentioned about how that they're transitioning and making going through different stages in their life. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about moving on. And there's times in life when we need to move on, and there's times in life when we need to stay the same. And with regard to our faith in God, I'm going to suggest this morning that you don't graduate from your faith. There are times in life when we graduate and we move on to something bigger and better. But I want to encourage you this morning to never graduate from your faith. You know, the Apostle Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he said, "When I was a child, I spake as a child and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." You know, there's a time in life to move on from childhood. We need to grow up. We expect childish behavior when we're a child. But when we get into our teenage years, a little bit older, we need to be moving away from those childish kinds of behaviors. So there's a time in life to move on from childhood to adulthood. We need to graduate and move on. And there's certainly a time in life where if we find ourselves living in sin, we need to move on from that life of sin and become a Christian. We need to put off that old man and put on the new man. We need to lay aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset us. And we need to let that be our past. Like the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3, he had a past life. He left that behind so that he could have the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. There's a time in life where we need to move on from a life of sin. Like the prodigal son in the pig pen, you know, having fun in sin, having a fast and loose life in sin, and sowing our wild oats and having a good time, there's a time to move on from that and have those sins washed away in baptism and live the faithful Christian life. But you know, when it comes to our faith, it's never time to move on. And so I want to encourage us this morning, don't graduate from your faith. We're going to see this morning that the decade of the 20s, and I'm encouraged that we have a number of here at Moorfield that are approaching their 20s and that are already in their 20s. The decade of the 20s is a very crucial decade for you. And it's going to be for you a make or break situation where you're going to decide, typically in your 20s, if you're going to stay with God or not. You look around and see these older folks here this morning. A number of them have been Christians for most of their life now, and they have remained faithful. They didn't graduate and move on. They have kept their faith with them. And our brother George Skinner, who's passed away this past week, he kept his faith up until the time that he died. But will you do that, or will you graduate and move on from your faith? I don't need that anymore. It was good while it lasted, but I'm going to move on from that. It was okay when I was at home with mom and dad, but I've gotten smarter and I'm going to move on from that. Will you graduate from your faith? The encouragement this morning is to not do that. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world, and we need to keep it with us all throughout our life. I asked Eric if he would read 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look at that scripture reading again there. We're going to begin this morning by looking at some admonitions to keep our faith with us. And here's one such admonition of Paul to Timothy. But abide in the things which you have learned. Some versions say continue in the things. Don't give it up. Don't leave it behind. Don't graduate from it. Don't move on. Keep it with you. Stay with it. The things which you have learned, what would that be? God's Word, the Scriptures. Number two, and has been assured of. Look at that in your Bible. Not only do we learn God's Word, but we've been assured that it's the truth. There are evidences that show that God's Word is true. So not only did you learn something, but number two, you were assured of those things. We're going to come back to that thought later. Some people lose their faith in their 20s because they're not sure about some things. We'll talk about that later. But Paul says you've learned some things. Number two, you've been assured of these things. There are evidences for the truth of these things, and we can be assured and confident. And then look at this, number three, knowing of whom you have learned them. So Timothy learned some things from his mother and his grandmother. We know from Scripture that they were faithful. He also learned some things from the Apostle Paul. So he's saying, you've learned some things, you've been assured of some things, and then he says, consider who you learned them from. Consider that your mother gave you that, or that the Apostle Paul gave you that. So the source of what you've learned is important. And then he says, and that from a babe you have known the sacred writings which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Stay with that, Timothy. Don't graduate from that. There are a number of admonitions in Scripture. We'll start in the Old Testament. Turn with me to Psalm 71 in verse 5. This is actually a psalm of an older individual. And he's saying in his old age, he wants God to watch over him in his old age. But notice the statement that he made in verse 5, you are my hope, O Lord Jehovah. You are my trust from my youth. And then in verse 9, cast me not off in the time of old age. This is a psalm of an older person, but he had been trusting in God from his youth. He didn't graduate from his faith. Look at verse 17. O God, you have taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. And when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not. He's holding on to what he had in his youth. Don't graduate from your faith. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3. There are admonitions to those who are younger to don't forsake God's law. Proverbs 3:1, my son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace will they add to thee. Chapter 4 and verse 1, my sons, hear, my sons, the instruction of a father, and attend now to understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. Chapter 5 and verse 7, depart not from the words of my mouth. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. It's not enough to have faith when we're young. We have to keep it with us all throughout our life. In chapter 14, in verse 22 of the book of Acts, Paul encourages those relatively new Christians there. Elders have been appointed, going back through the churches that he's been preaching in. And he says that we must continue in some things. In chapter 14 and verse 22, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that through many tribulations we must enter into the kingdom of God. There's going to be some tough times ahead, but you've got to continue in the faith. Same in Colossians 1 and verse 23. There are admonitions in Scripture to hold on to what we've learned. Paul talks about in Philippians 1 and verse 25 that you have progress in the faith. Our faith in the faith of the teaching of the Word of God, our personal belief and faith in the faith, and there needs to be a progression there. People need to be able to see that we're progressing in the faith. Growing. Becoming more active. Becoming more mature. Becoming more involved. There's a progress, not a stagnation and an eventual quitting. Progress implies that we're going to hold on to our faith. And then when John gives that revelation of Jesus Christ, turn with me to Revelation 13 and verse 10. There were persecuted Christians. And if anyone had an opportunity to give up on their faith, it would be the New Testament Christians who were persecuted. But there were those who were faithful, and they would not give up on that. And John records them this way: if any man is for captivity, into captivity he goeth. If any man shall kill with the sword must he be killed. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. The steadfast perseverance of these Christians, even in the face of persecution, they're not going to move on and leave that behind. They're going to keep it with them even until death. The same in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 12. The patience and the faith of the saints. We live in a world where the devil wants to rob us of our faith. Turn with me to the well-known parable of the sower in Luke chapter 8 and verse 12. And let's remind ourselves this morning of the devil's activity and what he wants. He wants to rob you of your faith. If you were given faith as a young person by your parents, or maybe you came to learn that on your own, he wants to try to take that away from you at some point in your life. Don't do it. Don't graduate from your faith. We had three high school graduates here at Warfield Boulevard this year. They're moving on, but don't leave behind your faith. And we have others that go off to work and go off to college, and some go off into the military, and some get married, and they're moving away. It's a transition period. But don't move away from your faith. Don't move on from your faith. In Luke chapter 8, with regard to this parable of the sower, the devil, we read, the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, that they may not believe and be saved. He can do that initially to keep a person from becoming a Christian in the first place. I believe he can also do it after they become a Christian. He can still take away the word out of your heart so that you will not believe and be saved. That's what the devil wants to do. Don't graduate from your faith. This next part of the lesson is very personal and somewhat painful to me, because even in my own family with my own siblings, what I'm about to describe to you happened. I'm not speaking this morning in the theoretical and the hypothetical. I'm speaking this morning in a very personal way that it can happen even in my own family. That a person, young man or young woman, can be raised by Christian parents. And they can be raised to learn the gospel and be baptized into Christ and attend all of the Bible classes and fill out their Bible class lessons and be a part of the local church. But when they get up in about their 20s, they leave home. And life just takes over. They get busy. They got work. They got school. They've got marriage, and they slowly drift away from Christ, and they lose their faith, and they may never come back until the day they die. That happened in my own family. So I want you to understand that what we're talking about this morning is very real. And it's happening all too often, not only in the religious world in general, as we'll see in a minute with some statistics, but even in the Lord's church. So how is it that someone loses their faith? How is it that someone decides to graduate and move on? Well, turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 19. First of all, folks just get too busy. I've got things I've got to do. And so I'm not reading my Bible, and I'm not praying, and I'm not attending regularly the local church that I can be a part of and be regular with. I've just got stuff going on. I mean, I've got work and school and bills to pay and things to take care of in my personal life. People move on from their faith because they're too busy for faith. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 19, a couple of individuals are mentioned here. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some having thrust from them, I don't want this anymore. Get this away from me. They thrust it from them. Have made shipwreck concerning the faith, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander. Two men mentioned by name in Scripture, they've made shipwreck of the faith. There was a time when they were following God's word, the faith. There was a time when they were faithful in the faith. But think about a ship and a shipwreck. Think about that. You're riding on this ship. Little time passes. You come to an iceberg. You come to some rocks. You come into a storm. And then there's a shipwreck. You're riding the boat for a while, and then you're at a wreck. Time passes. And we get busy with things. I want to share with you this book by David Kinnaman. It was written in 2011. So the book is just a few years old, but the statistics are still holding the same up until 2019. He wrote this book, You Lost Me. At the time, he was president of Barna Research Group. Barna Research Group is a very good, reliable and trustworthy group to get a handle on social issues in the United States, and they often survey people. And so he surveyed a number of young Christians in denominations, putting that in quotation marks, those who claim to be Christians in various denominations across the land, teenagers and 20-somethings, and the bottom line was that he found that more than half, are dropping out and disconnecting from active involvement in church. The decade of the 20s is very crucial, brethren. Very crucial. You're leaving mom and dad, and rightly so. That's what God wants us to do. And mom and dad are no longer the ones that are primarily encouraging you to go to that church service and to read your Bible. They're not toting you there in their vehicle. That's the way it was done, you know, for several years. But now we're out on our own where we're making more choices. And many, more than half, that is a very large statistic, are choosing to drop out and disconnect. And the book surveys many, many reasons for that. You see up the small gray print on the cover of this book. You can't read that. Those are short little statements. Those are the ones that he surveyed for all of the different kinds of reasons why people are dropping out and disconnecting. There's many, many of them. Why young Christians are leaving church and rethinking faith. It's real. It's real. And it's happening even in the Lord's church. I've seen it happen in my own family. And one thing that happens is that folks just get too busy for faith. And they're riding the ship for a while, and then it wrecks. They're not giving attention to the spiritual things of their life. Just like we don't give attention to our body will run down. If you don't give attention to your marriage will run down. And if you don't give attention to your faith, it'll run down too. But because we're busy with the things of this life, we're not giving attention to the spiritual side, and so we make shipwreck of the faith. You know, some are too materialistic. Turn with me to chapter 6 and verse 10. With some, it's chasing the American dream and the almighty dollar, and we've got to get out there and live the American dream, and we've got to buy this and buy that and max out our credit card and own the latest this and the newest that, and we've got all kinds of things involving money. Of course, there's the work that involves with that, so we're just working ourselves to death to own all the stuff that we want to own. Now, granted, we're not taking care of our faith while we're doing doing that. But we really have a lot of money and things. And so Paul says, and what's interesting about this is the same things going on today. Paul mentioned it almost 2,000 years ago. Human nature is the same. Too busy in chasing material things. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, which some reaching after have been led astray from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So I've got too much to do involving money, earning money, working, and all that kind of thing. So they are led astray from the faith. And then turn with me to chapter 6 and verse 20 and 21. Some get too smart for their faith. So I go off to college and university. Some professor told me about this and about that. It may have started in high school, depending upon what high school the person went to. Maybe it was evolution. Maybe it was something else. But they've learned some things. And, you know, I don't believe that Bible thing. You know, Jonah and the whale? No, I don't think so. Jesus coming out of the resurrected? No, don't think so. And so we learned some things. I was reading online about a young person who went off to college and was raised in a typical Christian denomination, as we describe it. And she said that she became an unbeliever when she got to college, and she's now an atheist. And I'm not suggesting that everybody this morning, that everybody that goes down this path is going to end up as an atheist. She did, and she said that what happened was her parents wanted her to go to a really, what they thought was a really conservative Christian university. And at the last minute, she changed her mind and went to another Christian university that wasn't strict and literal with the Bible and very conservative. It was loose on a lot of things. And she had some teachers that raised doubt in her mind about the inspiration of Scripture and miracles. And is the Bible really the Word of God? No, it's actually just the Word of man. And that was in a Christian, so-called Christian university. And she said, that slowly eroded my faith. And I came home one Christmas or Thanksgiving, whatever it was, and she said, Mom and Dad, you know, I'm just not a believer anymore. So we get too smart for our faith. We learn something that is better than the Word of God. And so look at chapter 6 and verse 20. O Timothy, guard that which is committed unto thee, turning away from profane babblings and oppositions of the knowledge. If you have the King James, it says science. And that was a good word for 1611, from the Latin scientia, meaning knowledge. Oppositions of the knowledge, which is falsely so called. Look at this. Which some professing have erred concerning the faith. This knowledge caused people to err concerning the faith. So I'm just too smart for the Bible. I don't need that anymore. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and following, the Spirit says that in the latter times, some shall fall away from the faith. How, Paul? Giving heed to seducing spirits and the doctrines of demons. I'm listening to something that's making me smarter than the Word of God. And so I don't need that Bible thing anymore. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 18. As you hit your 20s, you're out on your own, you're reading new books, and you're online reading things, and in classes where you're hearing things, and much of that is tearing your faith down, even at a so-called Christian college. Gotta be very careful about that. And look what happened in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 18. These two individuals, Hymenaeus and Philetus, men who concerning the truth have erred, saying, now here's your education, saying that the resurrection is past already. Well, what did that information do to some? And overthrow the faith of some. The ones that listened to that foolishness, their faith was overthrown. So we have to be careful what we listen to. And what we're learning and what we're studying, you see. We have to stay true to the Word of God. We have to be careful about the money thing. We have to be careful about the busyness thing. And so even in my own family, I've seen this, and maybe you've seen this, these next few points, that when we hit our 20s and we get to that period of time, it's our associates, our friends, those that are surrounding us, they often take us away from the faith. This individual that I was reading about online, this young lady that had gone to this Christian university and lost her faith, she said that I stopped staying in touch with those church kids that I knew when I was growing up. And I started associating with people on campus and other individuals, and they took her away from her faith. Schooling and work. I got school, and I got to go to work, and I've got to hit the books, and I have long hours doing this and long hours doing that. Now, I'm not going to church services like I should, and I'm not reading my Bible, and I'm not praying. And this next thing, these next two things are very important. False ideas in marriage. We already talked about the education. I've just gotten too smart for the Bible. And so we get inundated with all these false ideas about things that aren't true. And we start believing them because there's a PhD attached to it. And Professor so-and-so is attached to it. And this scholar and that scholar have written this particular book. And so, hey, it must be gospel truth. And so we just buy it hook, line, and sinker. And we find ourselves being led astray from the faith. And then marriage, who we marry. They might be a good person. They might be nice and good and that type of thing. Clean cut and this and that. But they may not be 100% serving God with all of their heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. And so we marry this person. They're weak. They bring us down. And often, again, it's in the decade of the 20s where this type of thing goes on. Don't graduate from your faith. It's not worth it for any person you marry. It's not worth it for these false ideas. There's no schooling or work more important than going to heaven. There's no associate or friend that is more important than going to heaven. Don't let any of this stand in front of having a strong faith that will take us all the way to the end. Remember, over half are dropping out and disconnecting. And somebody might say, well, that's in the denominational world. The same type of thing goes on in the church. Human nature, young people in churches of Christ are not physically or emotionally different from other young people. And we find the same thing among us. Let me encourage you, don't graduate from your faith. How can we keep from moving on? Well, let's start with the well-known passage in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1. When Solomon said, "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth," the implication is that you can forget Him. That's the implication. That's why he says, "Remember Him." The danger of forgetting Him is there. And so he says, "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth." That would be the place to begin. And so, yes, go out and have that schooling and that job and that marriage, but always have it in the forefront of your mind that God is first in my life and I'm going to read His Word and serve Him daily. And I'm going to keep reading that Word of God. Daily Bible reading now, brethren, is not just simply a kind of a neat Warfield thing where we raise our hand. We are setting habits that we'll need to have in our life later, where we maintain our faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. The less I hear of God's Word, the less faith I have. The more I hear of God's Word, the more faith I have. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. It's directly proportional. If I want a strong faith, I have to have a lot of God's Word. And so keep reading the Word of God. That's why in our scripture reading, continue in the things that you have learned. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6. Nourished in the words of the faith. Nourished in the words of the faith. When you look at the statistics and the documentation of the 20-something group dropping out, it's in every case. They admit, I haven't been reading my Bible. That's how simple it is. I haven't been reading it. I haven't been believing it. I haven't been trusting it. I haven't been following it. And they're slipping away, dropping out and disconnecting. We've got to keep fighting. Let me ask you this. Is your faith worth fighting for? You know, some people are raising the white flag to the devil, just the flag of surrender. I give up. Is your marriage worth fighting for? Is your family worth fighting for? Is your faith worth fighting for? Some people leave because they won't put up a fight. Paul says to fight the good fight of the faith. When any little thing comes along, I'll go with it. No, fight. Fight for it. When you hear that erroneous ism, whether it's naturalism, which we call evolution, atheism, agnosticism, whatever ism it is, when you hear it, put up a fight. And if you need to talk with someone else and get the artillery for that fight, do that. Talk with a gospel preacher. Talk with an elder in the church. Talk with a faithful member of the church. Get the arsenal, the weapons, the artillery that you need to put up that fight. But if we don't fight, we're going to cave and quit. Put up a fight to the boss who says, well, you don't need to go to church. Put up a fight. Put up a fight when somebody at school says, well, you don't need to go to church. Put up a fight. Fight for your faith and you'll keep it. If you have something worth fighting for, God will make sure that you can hold on to that. Paul did that all the way to the end of his life. He fought the good fight. That's why he can say, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. He fought it. And we need to as well. Don't be one of those over 50% of young people who fall away. Contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all. Contend means to fight. Literally to agonize. It was used in the first century of hand-to-hand combat. Hand-to-hand combat. So when the temptation and the education and all the other things come along our way, fight. And you'll be able to keep that with you. And you'll be able to have that faith that overcomes the world. Strengthen yourself by way of assembling. We stop assembling. And it's the same thing every time. I stopped reading my Bible and I stopped going to church. It's the same thing. And I saw it in my own family. When I asked this person, it was the same thing. I stopped reading my Bible and I stopped going to church. Well, what were you doing? Well, I was going to school and I was going to work. We need to strengthen our faith and be built up in the most holy faith. Strengthened in the faith, Acts 16:5. Striving for the faith. Jude 20, build yourself up in your most holy faith. We will have a strong faith as long as we build it up and keep it fortified and strengthened. And that's through assembling with other Christians every week. And reading our Bible and praying. And let's constantly examine ourselves to see if we are in the faith. You know, drifting happens gradually. Just like you untie a boat, it just gradually drifts away. It doesn't happen just immediately. It doesn't just shoot out there. And this losing our faith and moving on where we don't need that anymore, it happens slowly. A few days and weeks and months and years go by and then we just slowly have drifted. We need to constantly be examining ourselves. And that's difficult to do. Self-examination is probably one of the most difficult things to do as a Christian. But when we do that, we can see where we're at. And we can see if we're slowly moving away. So, how is my prayer life? How is my Bible reading? How is my attendance at church services? I've got to regularly assess that. Otherwise, I'm going to find myself drifting, as over 50% have. And if we don't want to be a part of that group, and I know none of us here do, we can help by strengthening ourselves and constantly testing ourselves and knowing what we believe and why we believe it and being able to express it. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:13, I believe, therefore I speak. Our young people, when they're hitting their 20s, they can't express their faith. They can't say what they believe about the plan of salvation or about the work of the church or the mission of the church. Or the organization of the church with elders and deacons. And so I can't express any of that. I really don't know any of the Bible verses that go with that. My parents always did that for me when I was growing up. When they can't express it, they know they believe something, but they don't know why. I sing without an instrument, but I'm going to be honest with you. I can't tell you why I do that. Well, we're in trouble. We take the Lord's Supper every Sunday, but I'll be honest with you. I can't tell you why we do that. Why we immerse in water instead of sprinkle and so forth on down the line. We have to know it, know why, and be able to express it. And so we have to be able to give an answer for the reason of the hope that is within us, 1 Peter 3:15. This young person that I was reading about said that when I got off into my 20s, I was bombarded with all kinds of information and questions, and I couldn't deal with it. And so it was just easier to quit. I couldn't answer the questions of the professor or the roommate, my roommate, or whatever. I couldn't deal with it. I didn't know what to say. Mom and Dad always said it. The Bible class teacher always said it. The preacher and the elders, they always said it. I didn't know what to say. And so we have to know what to say. And when we do that, we'll be able to keep our faith with us. This is a very big one. And I see this showing up in this book and other places. Along about your 20s, here's where the doubt and the questions come in. Off by yourself in your apartment somewhere. Is there really a God I never seen? He never speaks directly to me. And, you know, I read my Bible sometimes and it appears like there's some contradictions. You read one passage, it looks like it contradicts another passage. Is it really the Word of God? That seems more like the Word of man to me with the mistakes and so forth. And you don't honestly address them and go to the right source to find the answers for them. And so young people are dropping out because they can't handle the doubt and the questioning. They don't know what to do with that, and they give up. In John chapter 20, Thomas is never rebuked for asking for evidence. He says, unless I see the nails and the print in the hands, and unless I see something, I will not believe. Thomas was never rebuked for that. He wanted evidence. He had some doubts. I want to see the evidence. And Jesus showed him the evidence later. There's going to be doubts and questions. We have to honestly raise them and admit them and talk about them and go to the evidence and the source to find out those answers and those questions, to those questions and those doubts. It's when we don't that we either turn to ourselves or fellow man to try to get the answer, and then a person loses their faith. The doubt is not so much the problem. It's not handling the doubt the right way that leads to the problem. We'll all have doubts and questions. But we can't stay in that. James says that we're unstable in James chapter 1. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. We can't stay in that situation. And that's what the devil wants. And again, that happens along about the 20s, the decade of the 20s. So, as we close this morning, and I've gone a little over time, I'm going to blame Reggie for that with the long... Can I blame you, Reggie, for the long... I need somebody to blame this morning. I've got just a few more slides. I believe it's important. If you'll bear with me, please. Let's close with how we can keep our faith and why we should keep our faith. Why is it so important to hold on? Look at these older folks here this morning. I respectfully say that the older gray-haired member of the church, they kept their faith. Is there a good reason to do that? Is that important? Is that something that we should do? Absolutely. Why? Well, number one, if you in your youth, and by the way, youth in the Bible is not teenagers. Youth can be up to 30 years of age or maybe even a little bit older. When Paul talks about Timothy being a youth, he was probably 30 years old, maybe a little bit older. This may be the only life you have. Somebody says, well, I'm going to give up in my 20s. Okay, but you may die in your 20s, and now you've got a problem. Some people think, well, I'm just going to live my whole life. I'm going to live until I'm 70, 80, 90. This may be the only life you have. There are many, many people. I got online yesterday and just Googled, in the United States, how many people die a year in their 20s? It was over 90,000 people die in their 20s. The reason I need to hold on to my faith right now is this might be the only life I have. Do you remember the young people who were mocking Elisha? Go up thou bald head, being disrespectful and mocking, and they're immediately struck dead by a bear. Whoop, that's the only life I had. Job talks about dying in your youth. One reason I need to hold on to my faith is that as a young person, I might die as a young person, and I'm going to need that faith when I meet my Creator. And you're going to need your faith later if you do get older, and I pray to God that you will. You're going to need that later when the storms of life come in middle age and old age. You remember, those of us who are older, remember when you were a teenager? Boy, no health problems. You didn't have any health problems. Your parents had, you know, all the aches and pains, and they're always going to the doctor's office. Young people don't have health problems, you know, typically. And, you know, no mortgage problems, you know, no money problems, no financial issues, you know. Mom and dad have to worry about all that kind of thing. Well, you're going to get older one day. And your 20s are going to become your 30s, and your 30s are going to become your 40s, and your 50s, and your 60s. And all of a sudden, there's probably going to be a storm in your life somewhere along the way. I hope not, but probably will. And you're going to need your faith in order to get you through that. I was 38 years old when I went to the doctor's office one time and he said, Chris, you have cancer. I was 38 years old. That was devastating and discouraging. But one thing that got me through that was my faith that I had carried with me from a younger year. You're going to get hit with something. You're going to get hit with something. And you're going to need your faith to help you get through that. Talk to the ones who have been diagnosed in our announcements with cancer and so forth. Talk with Ramona and others. You're going to need your faith when that storm hits. And you'll want your faith when you need to come back, like the prodigal son. If you do find yourself in the pig pen, you're going to need your faith to know where to come back to. The young man said, how many are in my father's house that he has these hired servants and all of these good things that are going on in my father's house? I will get up and go back to him. He had something to go back to. And you're going to want that when you're in the pig pen or when I'm in the pig pen. And one way or the other, with or without your faith, you're going to face God. And I think all of us want to face God with our faith and not with our unbelief. I purposely, earlier in Ecclesiastes, read chapter 12 and verse 1 and purposely left off the latter part of chapter 11 to reserve it for this point. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thy heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know this, that for all things God will bring thee into judgment. Do you want to face Him with faith or without? I think the answer is clear and obvious. And so we're going to hold on to it and keep it. So don't graduate from your faith. You're moving on. And that's great. Moving on. A lot of things in life that we need to move on from, move into those new phases. It's exciting. It's liberating. It's great. But don't ever graduate from your faith. And if you need to begin that journey this morning, say, I am resolved. I'm going to step out and be baptized into Christ and live faithfully thereafter. Or if we can assist you to come back in some way. There's times to move on and there's times to stay put. And when we're talking about our faith, stay put and don't ever graduate from that. If you're subject to the invitation, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?